Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of the online course for the NASM CPT exam. My name is Eddie Lester and we are here to go over today the PowerPoint lecture for Chapter 14. All right, so Chapter 14, we get into a little bit about the modalities of training, the different types of equipment and things like that. And also we really get into special populations, which is where most of the questions from this chapter are going to come from. Special populations like obesity, diabetes, coronary heart disease, seniors, youth, pregnancy, things like that. So let's go ahead and look over to the PowerPoint and start on slide number 2. And specifically it's the OPT model for everyday living, just kind of getting into that. And slide 2 is going to talk about the OPT modalities. So this is basically different types of tools or different types of training that you can do. And specifically starting off with body weight training, basically just using your own body weight to exercise. This is something just like body weight lunges, body weight push-ups, pull-ups are considered a body weight training. Then you have a whole plethora of different types of exercises, which you can definitely YouTube and find out more about body weight training and do entire programs with just your body weight. Gymnastics is sometimes that sort of stuff. There's even some bar stars are like it's basically a form of gymnastics in which the guys are doing like pull-ups and pullovers and gymnastic style workouts on just a bar. All right, next we have like things like suspension training. TRX specifically is the most popular suspension trainer. Lots of different types of suspension training aside from TRX too, but basically you're using your own body weight with straps or rings even to create a resistance using gravity. Next we have free weights and other types of free weights like kettlebells, dumbbells, barbells, weight plates, and then lots of other types. That's your typical gym setting sort of free weights. Then you have resistance machines, anything from cable pulley machines to Nautilus to hammer strength style. Just resistance machines in general, that's for all body parts you typically have machines in the gym for. Vibration exercises, it's like vibration plates were a little bit more popular 10 years ago. Now we don't see them as much. They were kind of a bit of a fad, but I like to use the vibration plates sometimes for foam rolling, self-myofascial release. Feels like it gets a little bit deeper. Get a vibration into the muscle, kind of relaxes it maybe a tiny bit more. Check those out if that's something that you are interested in. Also, you have things like rolling acute resistance. Basically, the use of modalities without proper knowledge and experience is not recommended. The idea is to get comfortable using all types of training so that you can always give your clients something new and fun to work out with, more or less. All right, so now looking to slide number 3 in the group training with the OPT model. So group personal training is basically a way that trainers can train more than one person at a time and make more money doing so. The way that I set this up is that if like a couple wants to come and train, my usual per session rate is about $100 a session. And if two people want to train at the same time, I'll drop the rate as opposed to both of them paying $100, I'll drop it to $75 a person, but then I make $50 extra for that hour. So. And then also you can multiply that by many, many people, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And if everyone has the same goal, you can do that in that sense. But typically that's when the person gets a bigger discount. Basically one fitness professional provides personal training for more than one client. That's all it is. Or two or more clients. All right, next we have metabolic resistance training, which is the use of high work rate resistance activities with few or no recovery intervals. This is kind of like CrossFit, without saying CrossFit, but it's basically just trying to perform the most amount of work in the least amount of time is metabolic resistance training. You're lifting weights, you're going through all that stuff and really forcing your body to adapt to really intense metabolic stresses. Also, cueing with the OPT model, referring to this, cueing is just another thing for verbal and nonverbal communication used to evoke an action or response from one of your clients. You always want to make sure that you're telling your clients the what, the why, the how. What are they doing? Why are they doing it? And then show them how to do it. That's my main verbiage for someone teaching someone an exercise. The what, the why, the how. And common mistakes include failing to adjust coaching cue or message if they don't understand it, meaning that if someone doesn't get it the first time, maybe mix it up, try to explain it to them in a different way. And also failure to maintain proper volume when providing instruction, meaning that you're just looking to cue them efficiently and enough to make sure they do the exercise correct. All right, so now moving over to slide number 4, we're going to get into the special populations, which is the most important section of this chapter. And specifically with special populations, you really want to understand how to train someone in one of these categories. So, you know, we aren't going to go over all the direct acute variables. Mainly, we're just going to be going over the things that you should definitely know when training these types of clients and what NASM may ask you on the test. We aren't going to go over the exact reps and set ranges for all of these, but just some basics. So the populations or the special populations include youth, basically 5 to 18 years old or 5 to even 16 years old, I'd say, older adults, 65 and up, prenatal, postnatal, pregnant and post-pregnancy, obesity, hypertension. Obesity, once again, is a BMI above 30. Hypertension is 140 over 90 or higher. Coronary heart disease is plaque buildup along the walls of the arteries. Congestive heart failure, impairment of the heart, just any time that the heart cannot pump enough blood to the body, that's considered heart failure. And atherosclerosis, which is another name for narrowing of the arteries due to buildup of plaque along the wall. Peripheral artery disease is atherosclerosis of peripheral arteries. Blood flow to the extremities is reduced due to the narrowing arteries. And then stroke is also one of the special populations in which blood supply to an area of the brain is stopped or greatly reduced, leading to potential brain damage and motor control loss and other things lost potentially as well. So you may encounter some of these in your training career. If you are targeting one of these special populations, you definitely should be aware of all the issues going on with this. I know a lot of people are looking to train older adults, and knowing all the parameters around, you know, what they might be dealing with is important. So study that this section big time if that's you, or even younger athletes, definitely know that. And then the basics around everything else. But let's talk about the special populations and programming. Specifically, we're going to be going over the main categories that NASM definitely wants you to know about. So seniors is one of them. With seniors, they're always going to recommend peripheral heart action circuit training. And peripheral heart action circuit training is going to be where you're going to be going upper body exercise immediately followed by a lower body exercise. And in a circuit. So upper body, lower body, alternating in a circuit. That is going to be a PHA circuit. You should be doing that with seniors. It's a short workout, but it's highly intense, in which the blood flows to the upper body and then blood flows to the lower body, creating a lot more, we'll say, work for the heart. Because the heart isn't just pumping blood to one area. It has to pump blood to two areas almost at the same time, which can be difficult, but very good for conditioning the heart. So, also with seniors, start in a seated position and then progress to standing as soon as you feel that they are ready. That's another good one. High blood pressure, the hypertensive population, you should be avoiding heavy lifting. Okay, the main reason why is because the Valsalva maneuver can increase blood pressure. When you go to lift something heavy, you don't often breathe consistently through it. You typically hold your breath and push and squeeze really, really hard, gripping in that sense, and that could potentially increase someone's blood pressure to unsafe levels, even further increase their blood pressure. Also, avoid prone or supine exercises. That one always seems to make it onto the test for NASM, is what population should you avoid prone or supine exercises? High blood pressure or the hypertensive population. Exercise should be done seated or standing. All right, and then pregnancy is another important one. Avoid prone and supine exercises after the first trimester, so be careful. The only time in pregnancy in which you avoid prone and supine is after the first trimester. So from the 4 month mark all the way to the 9 month mark, that's when they would not be doing prone supine exercises. But first trimester is completely fine. Reactive training also not recommended after that first trimester. It's actually more recommended in the it's not recommended in the second or third. It's recommended in, or it can be done in the first though without any issues. First trimester. Next, we have the overhead squat is recommended to do on this population. So sometimes NASM will say, you know, which of the following populations is the overhead squat okay for? Pregnancy is okay for the overhead squat. You can do it and is recommended. And then also with pregnancy, you may need to just start with 5 minutes of exercise and see how they feel before progressing them. That's something that NASM wants you to know. It's definitely like you always want to make sure they're feeling okay and want to continue with this population. So start with 5 minutes, then see how they feel, and then progress if necessary. All right, moving over to slide number 6, continuing with some of the special populations and programming and specific tips around these populations. Obesity. So for obesity, exercise should be performed in a standing position when possible, meaning that you don't want them seated as much because standing does allow them to burn a few more calories and also promotes, a standing exercise using just more muscle groups in general. Resistance training should be done 1 to 3 days per week, and cardio should be done 5 to 7 days per week. So they should be exercising almost every day, that means, in the obese population. And, your cardio is basically that heart rate, zone 1, heart rate training zone, nothing too much above that until they get in a little bit better shape. All right, next we have the cardiorespiratory disease. So cardiorespiratory disease, you should work with healthcare providers in a medical setting for this population. It's not typically done in which a trainer immediately deals with them by themselves. Typically, they would have to be cleared by a doctor to ever work with a trainer. Typically 6 months following a diagnosis, they're going to be with the doctor working out. And then fitness professionals help individuals improve health and fitness post-rehab. So that's after the 6 months of rehabbing, then that's when fitness professionals typically work with them. So for cardiorespiratory exercise, it's 40 to 60% of total work capacity, meaning their heart rate max, and their resistance training should be 40 to 80% of 1RM, meaning you shouldn't be going too heavy. And then also for diabetes, 1 to 3 days per week of resistance training and 5 to 7 days of cardio. Diabetes is basically going to be when they can't regulate their blood sugar efficiently, but exercise does help, and actually exercising muscles does almost force blood sugar into the cells and can be very effective for, we'll say, reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes and is very healthy for people with type 2 diabetes. All right, next let's continue with slide number 7, special populations and programming further. Furthermore, extended healthcare providers that might be working with special populations would be people like physicians, physical therapists, cardiac rehab therapists, and these are going to be individuals who provide specialized guidance to patients suffering from these illnesses or impairments. So you may visit these types of offices and to see once people are done with them if they would like to start with a trainer to keep up their healthy lifestyles. Post rehab is the time following physical therapy before a patient returns to full fitness function. And most people don't do rehab until they're completely healed. They only do it for 8 weeks or 4 weeks or 12 weeks, whatever it may be. And then they don't always heal completely and still need that work. So potentially working with clients that after their injuries post rehab. After they've gone seeing a physical therapist could be important. Visit the physical therapist's office and talk to them about getting some of their clients. Cardiac rehabilitation is a specialized medical process that helps individuals suffering from various cardiac conditions to return to full function or fitness. You guys don't do cardiac rehabilitation typically unless the doctor gives you a workout and you take them through it. But basically with that, you're focusing on phases 1 and 2. And this is typically in that cardiac rehabilitation setting. And then phases 3 and 4 are self-paced programs that are conducted outside of a medical facility but require interaction between the physician. So once they do better under supervision, the doctor may request that they continue to exercise outside of supervision, which could be with you. Just keep that in mind if you do work with someone with a cardiac issue that you would want to consult a physician about almost everything because don't want to take any risks with that one since they've already had a heart issue, typically a heart attack. All right, more technologies that we're going to talk about that are emerging with fitness. Lots of cool things out there. Nothing though that really works out for you. So you are always going to be at it in need as a personal trainer. But yes, just some stuff is basically smartphone apps help to interact with clients outside of the gym. There's some online training apps if you want to help people and, basically help people across the nation, we'll say, that you can't see in person. You can train through smartphone apps like TrainerEyes or PT Distinction, or there's a few good ones out there. Check that out. And then also it helps you to increase chances to motivate clients through the day with just smartphones in general. It also is assistance in tracking and evaluating nutritional habit. One that I definitely recommend there is MyFitnessPal. It gives you all calories and nutrition associated with that. And then the ability to provide reminders to about healthy habits and at-home training assignments and appointments. So just constant communication with someone, allowing them to stick to their goals a little bit easier. All right. Also, further technologies and trends, activity trackers, wearables. These are things like your cell phones typically have them now, meaning like they count your steps or, they may count your heart rate if you wear a watch that might be able to track your heart rate through the day. Motivation with step counters, and it's just a basic overview of how active one was via steps or heart rate, calories burned, things like that. And they also collect and transmit data regarding performance and physiological variables from the device to your phone. So you can kind of see, how active was I today? And that can help motivate people to be more active. I actually had a client that used a Fitbit, and if he didn't get 10,000 steps a day, he would legitimately walk around his pool until he got them at night, which increased his, a little bit of activity and cardiovascular conditioning a little bit. So that is just a good reminder for your clients. And also, guys, trends, definitely social media is going to be all the places where a lot of people are going to connect, outside of the gym about fitness. So one thing you can do is establish yourself once you are a trainer as the guru of fitness and let all your friends and family know that you are in fitness and that is your job and you've been studying and offer, services to people, whether they're paid or unpaid, depending if you're just starting out or if you're running a business, kind of up to you, or if you just want to get people interested in what you do, post all the time about fitness. Don't be too annoying. Just joking. Motivation, tips, things like that can be really good. Share info about services and events and training opportunities with you. Also, short videos about certain exercises and exercise techniques for various modalities that look fun and can be intriguing and bring clients to you. With social media, you have the opportunity to connect with a ton of people, and I highly, highly, highly recommend that you immediately establish yourself as someone who loves fitness and is working out constantly and knows a lot about fitness. That will allow, once you are ready to go into private training and charge, $50, $60, $70 a session or an hour, allow you to have the potential to get more clients. So keep that in mind. Definitely update all your social medias right now, or you can always check out our business and sales course for more tips on how to use social media to gain clients and things like that. All right, so that is going to be it for this PowerPoint for Chapter 14. Go ahead and complete the audiobook lecture below, as well as the assignment, and listen to the assignment audio, take the quiz, score an 80% or better, and I will see you guys in just a few minutes, or tomorrow, or the next day, don't quit on me, at the audiobook lecture below. Cheers.